Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good thing we have shoes that have a little bit of weight in them, or we might have all just been blown away this morning, because that wind is very strong. But what we'd like to do is greet and welcome anybody who is visiting our church this morning. Do I have anybody on my right, your left, that would like to be recognized as a visitor? Yes, ma'am, and you are, and where are you from?
My name is Beth Brady, and I am married to Louisa's nephew, Jason, who is
Oh, awesome.
He will be here just a bit.
All right. Thank you. And where, and where?
Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, Columbus, Ohio. Woo-hoo. Thank you. And thank you. Welcome to our service this morning. Anyone else? Okay, and then on my left, your right, is there anybody that would like to be recognized?
Craig's going there tomorrow.
Okay, all of our home folk. Let me please remind y'all within our church service, the little red asterisk is to please stand, if you are able, where you see the red asterisk, okay? Announcements. Please refer to your bulletin. We will not go over all of them, but I will please remind y'all, this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We will have a service at 5 p.m., and then also on Wednesday will be our first Lenten luncheon, okay? And that is starts at 12 o'clock. Our church is not responsible for the soups this time, but we will let you know when it is our time to provide. Okay. Is there anything else we need to bring to the attention of our congregation? All right. Then at this time, as the light of Christ is brought in, let us please prepare our hearts for worship through our silent prayer. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It is great to see you and great to be able to worship with you today. Let's bow our head for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather here today to worship you, Father, we are not able to see everything around us like you do. Today I pray that you will pull back the veil and reveal your presence and work in and around us. When our eyes are open, we see that God is everywhere and in everything and is there always. When our eyes are open, we see every day is brimming over with God-filled majesty, your activity, and your miracles. When our eyes are open, we see that every place, every person, every moment is infused with the glory of God. Today I pray that our eyes will see and our ears will hear the message that you have for each one of us today. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.
Our opening hymn is found in your Faith We Sing books, page 20, 23, How Majestic Is Your Name.
Oh. That was a nice intro.
It was a very good intro.
I thought we were doing Great is the Lord.
We are at the end. At the end.
Let us continue with our call to worship. Sing praise to the Lord, you faithful people.
Give thanks to God's holy name.
For the Lord restores our life.
God raises us from the dead.
Will the dust sing God's praise or tell of God's faithfulness?
Our souls will sing to the Lord. How can we be silent? We will give thanks to God forever.
Amen. Amen. And then turn to page 881 in our red hymnal, and we can proclaim, our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing for our Old Testament reading, which is out of the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. That is page 332 in our church Bible. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And you may be seated at this time.
Please turn in your hymnal to page 367. He touched me.
And in unison, our prayer of confession. Loving God, hear our prayer. Our eyes are tired from weeping. Our hearts are heavy with sin. We have trusted too much in our own strength. We have hidden our faces from those who suffer. We have turned away from our neighbors in need. We have given up hope instead of seeking your help. Lord, be gracious to us, forgive our sin, heal our brokenness, and fill our hearts with song of joy. Amen. The Declaration of Forgiveness. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
And if our ushers would come forward for our offertory, please.
trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you.
Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, can we please have our children come up for our children's time with Miss Mary Richards? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. It's time for joys and concerns, and I am glad, I think, that none of you have a concern. But I'm not sure how I feel about none of you having a joy either.
There's one on your guest row.
Yeah, that's not for us to share. It says not to share. So I'm going to pray for you. Let me ask you also to please, during your quiet time at home, if you could keep the Duncan family. I've spoken to you about it. They were tragically killed by their own son a little bit over a week ago. His name is Benjamin. If you could keep him in your prayers, he is lost and he doesn't want to be found. I pray for a laborer that would be able to go into jail, and I know that there's some, and that God will get his word to him. So if you could please keep Benjamin in your prayers. My mic works. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day. The wind, the snow still on the ground, the water running everywhere. But this is home, and this is a place that you have made for us at this season of our lives. I pray, my Heavenly Father, for all those things that are in our hearts that we're not able to bring them to the surface. I pray for all those, Lord, that we don't know their names, but we know that are going through stuff today. I pray for those, Father, that are ill. I pray for those that are broken. I pray for those that are hungry. I pray for those that are in need of a hug, in need of a friend. May you supply all their needs, just like you've supplied to us, Lord. And it is in the name of your Son that we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever and forever. Amen. Amen. The scripture reading from today is a two-finger reading. I'm going to read from John 15, 1 and 5, and then Psalms 32 and 6. And it reads, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, apart from God, we can do nothing. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you, Lord, while you might be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. Let us bow our head for prayer. Holy God, enlighten us by your Holy Spirit and reveal yourself to us that we may hear your word and proclaim your good news to the world. Speak to us, O Lord, your saving word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and feed us with the bread of life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Did you all see the picture that I showed for the program today, that I chose it for the program today? I chose it last Monday morning, and gave it to Karen to print. I was not sure of my sermon at that time, but this time, oddly enough, I got the picture first. But the picture itself had a message for me. The more I looked at it, the more it spoke to me. And I hope that it will speak to you also. The message that I see in that picture is that we can drift from God with our Bibles open and in front of us. Let me say it again. We can drift from God with our Bibles open and in front of us. We're so prone to wonder that any activity can be an opportunity for sin, even reading God's word. Although we like to assume activities intended for growth in godliness, like prayer, fellowship, and Bible reading, are immune to such temptations, we can still fail to bring God's glory, even as we engage in them, simply because while we're doing it, we're not present. The Pharisees had this problem in their Bible reading. Jesus shot straight to the heart of the issue when he said, "You search the scriptures because you think that I am in them, and in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." In other words, even then, Jesus knew that we can go to the Bible, but we can get up and walk away and not take it with us. And you'll find this verse on John 5, 39 and 40. The Pharisees searched the scriptures diligently. They devoted their entire lives to memorizing and obeying the law of Moses. But what does Jesus call them out for? He says that they missed the bright neon sign flashing in front of them. They missed the Messiah. In front of them, it was flashing. The scripture was describing him to the T. And still, they were not able to see the Messiah that was sitting with them in the temple. The Pharisees knew God's word, but they did not recognize Jesus. They never allowed God's word to penetrate their heart so that they will desire the Messiah and welcome him when he came. Imagine taking an interest in your ancestry, creating a family tree, and learning all about your great-grandparents. You know their birthplace, their history, where they work, how they met, and so on. Now imagine that they walked into your kitchen and sat down to dinner, but you did not recognize them at all. You have searched, you wanted to know who they were. You certainly wanted to know, you know, what your connection to them was, you know, how your DNA, you know, how it transcribes from them to you, how much alike are you to them. But you don't recognize them while you're sitting at the table. You don't jump off your seat with excitement to hug them. Because even though that you know where they work, how old they were, where they got married, how they met each other, you still don't recognize them. This only begins to capture how crazy it is for us to read the scriptures and miss Christ. We marvel at the blindness of the Pharisees, yet some of us have the same problem. We have the same problem when in Bible study we find ourselves amazed when we hear Hebrews 4:15, where it tells us, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." That tells me that wherever I am today, Jesus has been here before. And in my case, I know he has been here before. But then after hearing this, we don't approach his throne with confidence in prayer. Sometimes we don't even approach his throne with prayer at all. We do not glorify God in our Bible reading when we study diligently, but our study never sparks fire inside of us for prayer. We read and read and might even spend all this time in the study and meeting with people or by ourselves. And still nothing that we read brings us to prayer. We have the same problem when we arrive at Revelation 5:13. It clearly tells us, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." But this side of heavenly worship does not move our hearts to respond in the same way. Sadly, doesn't even bring us close most of the time. We do not glorify God in our Bible reading when we push through our Bible reading plan, but our study never stops us in our tracks to worship God. With all that we're reading and all the information and all that we hear, there has to be a moment in it when we just have to praise God and praise what he has done for all of us and what he has done for your children and your grandchildren and what he will do for the country, what he has done for the country, what we need him to do for the country as we go forward. We do not read the Bible to the glory of God when we seek knowledge about God, but never meet God. We have the same problem when we memorize Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." Just that simple. Help to you cannot come from a more of a strong and mightier place or mightier hand. But then after reading that, we fail to turn to God in times of our needs, in times of the church needs, in times of our neighbor's need. We have access to the strongest power, true, the strongest power, but we don't turn to it. We do not glorify God in our Bible reading when we stack up flashcards of, or in my case, posties, of memorized verses. But our memorization never helps us run to God for refuge when trial comes. The same verse that you separate today because it encourages you, it will be the one that encourages you from your when you're reading it from your knees. But you have to do that. You have to apply it. You have to find it, and you can only find it in the Word of God. We do not read the Bible to the glory of God when we seek knowledge about God, but when the knowledge we search for never gets into our hearts. So it's kind of like it stays right here. Never goes down any farther. But when we read the Bible to the glory of God, we will know because we clearly see Jesus and find his joy in us. There's always something that can tell you that in your quiet time, in your time with God, in your time of reading the Bible, you know that you have been in the presence of God. It could be a very little thing, so small that you might not really recognize it at the beginning. But when this becomes a discipline for you, you'll see. It could be a verse. It could be an old little writing that you place in your Bible. It could be part of the devotional of the upper room. But there is something that tells you, I've been here. I've been here sitting with you. Now, I'm not asking you to overcorrect and crash into the ditch on the other side. This does not mean that we forsake knowledge for some mystical encounter as we open up randomly to any page of the Bible in the morning. I understand there's a lot of people that like to do that, and I'm not saying not to do it. To those that like to do that, I'd like to invite you to search in another way. Now we're eager to pursue truth about Jesus. And this doesn't happen randomly. But we use this pursuit of facts to help our hearts feel rightly with God. For me, it makes me feel as if I finally have found my lane. As a pastor, as a pastor, someone that has come into the pulpit late in life, I have to be very careful that I am in the lane where God placed me at this season of my life. So if I don't connect with the Word of God, if during the day, my favorite time is early in the morning. But even in the plane, I take my journal and I'm writing and I'm praying just because I need that connection. That connection helps me keep in my lane. When was the last time you felt like all you wanted to do was keep reading and praying, even as your watch reminded you that you had other things scheduled for the day? Only you can answer that question. You know that you're late, you know that you might have a couple of things to do before you leave the house, but there is something that doesn't let you get up because the Lord is speaking to you and you need to finish hearing what he's saying. When was the last time you felt like you just had to share what you'd read with someone else? I happen to have someone that I can do that with, and I do it very often. Actually, I have two people. I have my chicken soup for the soul sitting right here, which is Carol. And then I have Karen. And she's here at the same time that I'm here during the weekday. And I come and I tell her, hey, you know, look what the Lord said to me. And the same thing, Carol and I bounce that all the time. I got to tell you that many times we don't understand what it means, but we know that we will later. We know that whatever it is that jumped out had a special meaning, and it meant for us to retain it, to hold it. When was the last time you ran across a passage that drove you immediately to your knees in prayer for yourself, a friend, maybe even an enemy? When something is coming at you and you don't understand why, and you don't know why, and it seems that you're never gonna know why, you need to get down and pray. Now, when I say get down and pray, at our age, I believe that the Lord makes some exceptions. I think that getting to your chair, your favorite chair in the corner, I believe that he counts that as being on our knees. But let me also tell you that there are times that he wants you on your knees. And if you have to bring the chair along, put it by you, get on your knees, and then use the chair to get up, if you feel that that is what you're being called for, do it. Because it's not the prayer that he wants to hear from your knees. It's your humble asking that he wants to hear. So not all the times is he going to guide you to your knees, but when he does, get whatever help you need around you and get to your knees. We gaze into the face of Jesus as we open God's word and he transforms us. We get the growth and he gets the glory. You will not walk away from reading the Bible and have no understanding. If you're present and you have given yourself to that moment, you will get up with the word. We need help to read the way God intends us to read. Left to our own devices, we inevitably fall into the trap of reading with our heads and not with our hearts. We need help, but we have a helper. Jesus comforted his followers when he said, "When the helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, when the helper comes, and I will send him to you, The helper is here. The helper is on each one of you. The sending from the Father has already happened. We are that much ahead. The Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, will bear witness about me. John 15:26. Paul describes the process by saying, "Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." 2 Timothy, verse 2 and 7. You've all heard that the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind what you need to say at the moment you need to say it. If you haven't experienced it, try it. It does happen, and it can happen, and it will happen to all of us if we place ourselves in the position of searching the Word and learning. We work to understand God's Word, and He gives us the understanding. The Holy Spirit guides us in our reading so that we will not stop with knowledge, but instead we will truly understand that meeting with Jesus and His Word will bring us to a change of heart, and it will move us into action. Why did I say move us into action? Because just knowing the Word of God is not going to be enough. Because faith without actions is dead. So it needs to move us into action. So we pray just like John did in John 16 and 13. Holy Spirit, guide me into the truth. Just a simple prayer. In a posting, in your Bible. And when we add, help me to see Jesus as I open my Bible this morning, Lord, it even makes it better. You're asking the Lord for help, and you're confessing that without His help, you will not be able to receive His message. We pray along with David when he says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Psalm 63 and 1. We have to thirst for the Word of God in this manner. And we have to thirst in the Word of God for this manner, because when we get to the bad days of our lives, that is exactly what's going to sustain us. The fact that we know that God is with us, the fact that we know for sure that He will never leave us, the fact that our sins have been forgiven, even the ones that we have not committed yet, have been forgiven. This is what sustains you. We pray, God, help me meet you as I read this morning. Help me behold the glory of your Son, Jesus. Move me beyond knowing the words and help me to see you. Make me feel rightly about the words I read, and then will you transform me the way I parent, the way I work, the way I fellowship, the way I interact with others, the way I preach, through seeing your goodness in this world and having others see your goodness through us. Yes, we need help to carve the time, to follow the discipline, to prioritize, to spend time reading the Word of God. But we have a helper. God loves to meet us as we pray to meet Him in His Word. If what you have at this point in our lives, most people here are retired. If you don't have time in the morning, you need to rearrange your schedule, folks. You're overworking. Church, Lent starts next Sunday. My next three sermons will be on Bible reading. I am not doing this because you are not reading your Bible. And I specifically asked when God started putting all this together. And I said, isn't this kind of like assumptions of me to think that
you know, nobody's reading the Bible. I'm talking as if, you know, what's up? You're not reading the Bible. But that's not what I heard. I'm passing this along to you because God is calling us to do more. Not the same. Not the little bit that we've been doing. And if we've been doing a lot, guess what? God is even calling us to do even more. So for the next 3 weeks, starting Sunday, we will be digging and jumping head on into our time with the Bible. I will give you a sheet that will have how to read the New Testament in 40 days. It won't be that hard. And of course, I'm not going to be checking. It's up to you. And you might miss some of the days, but then you can get caught up. You can take that sheet to the doctor, and you have your phone, and you know that you don't have to be walking around with your Bible, because you pull out that sheet and you see what the verses for today is and click it right in your Bible. You can do it at any time that you are waiting for anything to happen, to be called. You can read it early in the morning, mid of the day, or even late in the afternoon as you contemplate the sun coming down and the beauty that surrounds you. I hope that all of you will be enthusiastic about coming, and we'll have hold, kind of pulled out, take a word with you of what I said today. It is not that you're not reading your Bible. It is that God is calling us to do more. Let us pray. Lord of Lords, Father of us all, God of heaven and earth, you have filled every verse in the Bible with layers of depth and meaning. Very often we merely skim the surface and don't find the deeper truth, or the message that was written for us to hear so very long ago, we cannot believe that it applies to us now. I know that if we ask you to open our eyes to the scriptures, you will unveil the hidden depth. Open our eyes, ears, and mind, and our heart to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. And I pray, Lord, because we need this time, and we need it for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing books to page 2022. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, he is holy and just. By his power we trust in his love. Great is the Lord, he is faithful and true. By his mercy he proves his love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice. Now lift up your voice. By his power we trust in his love. Great is the Lord, he is faithful and true. By his mercy he proves his love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice. Now lift up your voice. Praise.
And now, if you would receive this blessing from the Lord. May the words found in Matthew 16:17 find their way into your hearts. When Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. May you be able to see, may you be able to hear, may you be able to believe." In Jesus' name. God bless you all, and may I pray for the food before we get there. Heavenly Father, thank you for the hands that lovingly have put this food together, Father. We praise your name, my Heavenly Father, and we thank you that we plan, but you determine. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.
Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go. Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere, everywhere.